We are thankful for this new day that we get to worship you. It's a day for us to, again, come before you with hearts open, desiring for you to speak to us. And we ask that your living word would just not only be read, heard, but Lord, that it would be deeply planted within our hearts. And we ask, Lord, that in your perfect timing, you would help all of us grow. That all of us would have the ability, Lord, to see our lives being changed from the inside out. God, I pray that as we grow, that we would come to that understanding that it is you doing a work in us and through us. That we have no room to boast that we're something special. So, Lord, I pray that today your word would captivate us and draw us to that place, Lord, of loving you more. God, we want to hear from you this morning, so please pour out your spirit. Bless every heart in this place. And for those who may be here who don't know you, God, I pray they would walk away with knowing you, receiving you as their own personal Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, to you be all the glory, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please be seated. All right. Well, this morning, we are going to continue in our study in the book of Colossians. If you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand. Our ushers would love to make sure that you can follow along with us as we're going through the Word of God. We want you to know where we are studying, but more importantly, know that it is the Word of God that we desire to teach. And so Colossians chapter 2, that's in the New Testament. So you want to go all the way toward the right of your Bibles, past the gospel accounts, a few other Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians, and then you'll come across Colossians. And while you're turning there, listen, I just want to encourage you guys today with a few things. I know that as we are looking to give as many people as an opportunity to be a part of the church services, and listen, you guys know my heart, I think, when it comes to the Word of God. You know, I don't want to rush through things. I want God to give us this time for us to really hear from him. And I know that many churches today may not be doing a full hour, 45 minutes. Maybe some of them are, you know, dropping their services down to 30 minutes. That's, you know, that's what God's called them to do, but not here. Okay? And let me explain to you why. On Sunday mornings, listen, it's important for us to spend as much time as we can with the Lord. And the reality is this, if you can sit through a 2.5 hour movie, come on now, without getting up to go to the bathroom. Now, we're not going to start serving popcorn, okay? But what I'm saying is if we can give 2.5 hours to watch a movie, 30 minutes to watch 655 trailers, be there on time, we can come to church on time. Amen. And we can have an opportunity for the Lord to speak to our hearts. And again, I don't want to rush. I don't want to do anything that would cause us just to breeze over a portion of Scripture. And so throughout the course of time, we're going to, you know, keep digging into the Word, and we may go through a few verses, we may not. But I also want you to know, a part of being a part of this Bible study, there's other areas for you that you can get connected in. And even though we only give a few announcements, listen, look through your bulletin, okay? We want you to pray about getting involved in the different ministries that are a part of this church. And we want to be balanced. You heard through our announcements, we have several different opportunities, from kids to recovery to men's Bible study to women's Bible study to the young adults that we have within this fellowship and youth ministry. We want to be balanced in ministering to the whole family. And so everything that you see on the bulletin are important. We may not always announce them, but the heart behind this church is that you grow in Jesus, okay? And so I want to encourage you with that, and also just to let the men know, hey, we're resuming our breakfast in once a month, and so our next one will be February 18th, and we want to encourage you to come. Fathers, bring your sons. It's such a blessing to see young men coming to the breakfast and then hearing a chance or having a chance to come into the sanctuary and hear from the Word of God. So today we are going to continue. And so I'm going to ask you guys to do one more thing. Let's all stand out of reverence for the Word of God. I'm going to begin in verse 16. And Lord willing, today we're going to complete chapter 2. And I know the chuckles. You're leaning more on the Lord willing. Here we go, verse 16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puff up by his fleshly mind. And now holding fast to the head, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and marrow or ligaments, grow with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Father, we come before you and we do pray that this morning again, you would be our teacher. Holy Spirit, help me get out of your way that you may speak into all of our hearts. And I'm so thankful for the truth that we're going to discover. I'm so thankful that our right relationship with you is not based on what we do, but it's completely and solely because of what Jesus has done for us. So today, make that come to life. May we understand what the Word of God is saying to us today, and it's in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I think it's safe to say, you know, as we get ready to look at this next section, that the importance of coming to church is to grow in a personal relationship with God. And the way that we do that is not just by coming and sitting, because it's not 1 hour out of 7 days that is going to help you grow. It is an invitation that God has given us that we have the ability to approach him at any time, any day, any place. Isn't that awesome? I mean, when you think of that truth that we have complete access to God for the sole purpose of us coming to him and asking for help in every issue of life, every circumstance, and especially we should be praying every day that God would help us to crucify our flesh, to get rid of our old ways, so that now we can enjoy living in the newness of God. Are you with me? Yes. How many of us want that today, right? And this is what I've discovered. You know, as soon as a person comes to this amazing truth of accepting Christ into their life, that it is amazing to me how many times, even though they may have made the right decision, even though they're starting their relationship off with the Lord, that we as believers can put such a heavy burden on new believers that it may even discourage them from coming back. from coming and listening to the church. Let me give you an example. Let's just say somebody who has just accepted the Lord, right? We have our old ways. Before, in the past, for me, I'm going to use me as an example. I used to love to drink, okay? I used to love to go to discos and dance. That's what they were called back in the day. I don't know what they're called today, but that was me. That's how I met my wife. Used to love to do those things. And even now, when I hear music, the head starts bopping. And it just me, that's some of the things that I grew up with. On a Saturday morning, when we had to do our chores, I remember my older sisters would play you remember the vinyls? Remember those things? They're coming back, okay? They're coming back. It's a new thing for you millennials. It's not new, it's old. But I remember Saturday morning and just them putting the music on and dancing with the vacuum cleaner and you know, doing the dishes. That was what I grew up with, and I loved doing it. And even now, if we go to a wedding and there's a song that is played, I'll ask my wife, you want to go dance? Oh, Pastor, you dance? Oh, I don't know about that. Sometimes when I look back, and as I first started walking with the Lord, I also would try to put my convictions or the truth of God's word on other people that they weren't ready yet for. You know what I mean by that? You shouldn't be doing this. Hey, I know you just accepted the Lord 30 minutes ago, but you need to stop smoking. Right? And when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, this is what I pray we would understand Paul's heart with this passage, because what I believe he's getting ready to tell us today, it's not about certain days. It's not about what you eat. It's not about the things that you may make sacrifices for or the things that you may think you need to do to your body in order to be accepted by God. That's religion. That's not what we'd enter into. We've entered into a personal relationship with the Lord. And what we need to understand is that we can't put that on other people, because that's not our job. What we are called to do as the body of Christ is to help build up one another and encourage one another in the things of the Lord. And if you and I are doing our job right, if we're living for the Lord, then not only is the message that we reveal, but our life that demonstrates the actions, that's going to be more of a testimony than what we say. And if we are doing it correctly, as we do life with one another, we're going to encourage each other to live for the Lord. And so when we look at what Paul has been talking about, even in the past study, it's not about circumcision that saves you. It's not about being baptized that what saves you. These are all pictures. They're shadows. They're ceremonies and things that you could do that would reflect a personal and intimate relationship with God that all point to Jesus. And we learned last week how important it is just to understand what really makes a person right with God, and it is the finished work of the cross. It is what Jesus said, it is finished, meaning the work of redemption is done. There's nothing else that we need to do in order to be approved by God, to earn his favor. How many of you can recall, maybe you didn't do this, but I did. I would always try to do good things around the house. Not because I loved my mom. It's just because I wanted to borrow her car. Right? Mom, I love you if you're watching. Forgive me. I do love you. But you get my point. There's sometimes we do things because we want to get something in return. That's not what we need to do with the Lord. He's done out of love for you and me. And the greatest thing that we can do out of love for him is just to walk in obedience, to follow with the things that he's asking of us to do. And even when he asks us to do things, he knows already that we can't do them apart from him. That's why he's given us his Holy Spirit. And so as we've learned these things about what it means to be in a right relationship, now Paul is getting ready to switch a little bit into, let's not get caught up in all of the minors, all of the legalistic things that can happen. Because guess what? It could even happen here in the church. Right? Sometimes people might come into the church and go, why are your chairs so close together? Because we want to get as many people in the church as possible. Why don't you have different color bulletins? Because I love cowboy blue. Hey, look at that. Look at that. I got claps for that one. Wow. We can focus so much on the minor things that we forget what's really taking place here. And I pray that we would see Paul's heart, because again, it's been inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. This is what God wants us to know. Let no one judge you. Paul's encouragement to the saints then and to us today, when it comes to our walk with God, when it comes to our relationship with God, nobody has the right to pass any judgment on you regarding of what you eat, or regarding days that are considered holy. And one of the things that I pray that you would understand, we're going to look at both of them really quickly, but when it comes to the things that we eat, and even in verse 16, please understand, if you're a student of the word, these two examples are coming from the law that Moses gave, God's commandment in the Old Testament. God did give his people, again, underline his people, these restrictions. These are things you can and cannot eat. And you can find that in Leviticus chapter 11, chapter 17, and then in Deuteronomy chapter 14. We're not going to go back there because I know a couple of those things we'd all go like, We don't really need a commandment to say not to eat a bat. Not to eat certain things that crawl on the floor. But when it comes to some bacon, now you might start overturning some chairs or something, right? But these were things that God restricted his nation for the sake of separating themselves from other nations. Because some of these foods were used in pagan worship. So don't mix yourself with that. It had nothing to do with making you holier. It was just one of those things that separated them from other nations. When it came to, again, specific days, these are speaking of the yearly festivals, the feasts that God would require every single male child to go to. The new moon was a monthly celebration. And then, of course, the Sabbath was a weekly thing that people were to observe. And again, I have to remind us that this was given to God's people, the nation of Israel. If you can also recall, at the birth of the church, there was a big issue when it came to Gentiles who wanted to become believers in order to receive God's promises that he gave from the very beginning. A lot of the Jewish people were requiring people to be converted into Judaism, to become a Jew first, and then you can be saved. That's why it was important to keep the circumcision. That's why it was important to keep the certain laws and rituals that they would do, because that's what separated them to God. That's the Old Testament. That's not the New Testament. And the truth is this. I want us to understand and make sure that we, we know this, that when it comes to the law and even what the prophets said about the coming Messiah, Jesus' own words in, you know, in the scriptures is that he came not to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. In other words, to do things that we can't do. Number one, live a life of perfection. Has anybody in here done that? I'm glad nobody raised their hand. It's a good church. Jesus did it. He fulfilled it. He was that acceptable payment for the sins of the world. He was that perfect Lamb of God. When it comes to the prophets and all that they said he would do, Jesus was accomplishing all of those things. And there's one great event that still we're waiting for, and that is for his second return. And when that happens, everything else is going to fall in place to that great tribulation time, and then also the 1,000 year of Christ reigning here on this earth, until we will finally get to that one place where God will completely do away with all evil. We're still waiting for that day. But again, if you want to see God's faithfulness, out of the 66 books in the Bible, 65 of them have come true. We're just waiting for the one. Now, if we were in Vegas, you know what that means, right? You bet on that last book coming true. You put everything you have on that last book. But when we look at what Paul is pointing us to, and this is the heart of it, it's not about what you eat. It's not about what day you observe to worship the Lord, because here's the truth, beloved. Whether it's Sunday, you can worship the Lord. But here's the beautiful truth. Churches worship the Lord all throughout the week. Some churches can worship the Lord on a Saturday. And please understand, Saturday is not better than Sunday. Now, I kid around with you a lot, and I say, oh, y'all, the more spiritual service compared to the second service, because you get here early, right? I'm just kidding with you. You're not more spiritual. I'm just kidding with you. It doesn't make you more spiritual whether you worship the Lord at 9 or 11. And you might disagree. Again, don't forget steve@calvarysg.com. But here's the beauty. We get to worship the Lord Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, any day you want. Any day. And I would encourage you, worship him as often, as much as you can, not just on Sunday. These are the opportunities that we have that God has opened the door for us because of Jesus. And so this is what Paul is really getting us to understand, because it's not the food that you take in that's going to defile you. And you can go back to Mark chapter 7, verse 18 and 19, when he told the religious leaders, don't be passing judgment on my disciples because they didn't wash their hands before they started eating. Now, I'm going to gross some of you out right now. But if you ever go fishing with a group of guys, you don't wash your hands. Listen, we make our sandwiches first. But when we're on the boat and we're handling live bait and we're just throwing sunflower seeds in our mouth, guess what's on our hands? It just makes the sunflower seeds taste better. The protein from the fish cancels out all of the other non-good stuff in the sunflower seed. That's my logic. Don't quote me on that, okay? That's bad logic. But the reality is does it matter? Is that what's important? And Jesus said very clearly, it's not what comes into your mouth that will defile you, because what you eat doesn't go into your heart. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I don't think I need to explain that. But the reality is this, it's not what food you eat. And I do want to clarify this, and I'm speaking to myself. I am not throwing this out there. It's for me. Listen, God's given us a temple, and we also need to take care of our temple. Though we have the freedom to eat whatever we want to make sure that we're being careful that we're not disqualifying ourselves from ministering for the Lord. I don't want anything to ever hinder me from going and doing ministry based upon my neglect of this temple that God's given me. So I too need to get into shape. Some of y'all already, I heard somebody say amen. I'm not going to respond to that. But he said very clearly, Jesus said it himself, it's not the food that you take in that will defile you. It's already what's in your heart. Those are the things. And when we allow things in our heart that are not of the Lord, then that's pushing those things that God wants to do in our life, hindering us from allowing those seeds to grow. So Jesus himself said, all food is okay to eat, but don't be passing that judgment on other people saying, you can't eat this or you can't do that. Listen, I will be very transparent with you. If you come over to my house and I know that you are, just say, a vegetarian, okay? I'm not going to cook you a steak. I'm not going to be mean. Even though I have every right, it's my house, to do what I want to do and eat what I want, it's not loving to put somebody in that position. Vice versa, if you invite me over to your house and you're a vegetarian, would you, out of love, remember some people may not agree with your choice of eating, but don't force your way on other people. That's not what we're called to do. When it comes to, again, these amazing principles that Peter's wanting us to see, it's not what you eat, it's not what day you worship the Lord, but what is the heart of the issue? I believe it's in verse 17. Notice what it says. Which, speaking of these laws or the things you eat and drink, the things that are regarding the festivals and new moon and Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is what? Of Christ. So in other words, listen carefully. Whether we looked at the circumcision, the laws, these festivals, no matter what it is, the point that is important is that we just need to be pointed to Jesus. And when you look at the law and you look at all of these feasts and festivals, they all pointed to Jesus. The Passover meal points to Jesus. The Feast of Booths points to Jesus and how God preserved, how God delivered them from the angel of death and from the plague or the bondage of sin that was in Egypt. It all points ahead to Jesus. So all of these ceremonies and the things that he's pointing out, those are the shadows. But the reality is we're not to follow a shadow, we're to follow the object. And the reality that I want us to see here is this, again, understanding and knowing that whatever we do, our lives need to reflect our love for Jesus. And it's done by the way that we walk in obedience. When you look at what Jesus said, once again, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets, I came to fulfill them. And so what I want to do to help us understand this verse is read it to you in the New Living Translation. And this is what it says. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. So once we believe in Christ, we're no longer to follow a shadow. We're no longer to follow ceremonies that point to him. You can, but it doesn't give you any more spiritual meaning. It doesn't give you any more love from God. One of the things that I pray that you would see is that Jesus is that reality of everything that we do. That's what is the important thing for us to take in. Everything that we do should be done unto the Lord and not unto man. And so when we look at this, Paul's pointing us again, this is what matters most. Don't let people trip you up on what day you worship the Lord or if you decide to eat bacon or not. Don't let those things hinder you from your relationship with God. Notice what he also says here in verse 18 and 19. Let no one cheat you of your reward. Don't let anyone deceive you into thinking refraining from certain things will make you more spiritual. That's what it means to be cheated, to take you away, take things away from you. And notice the examples that he gives is false humility. The example that came to my mind were the religious leaders, as you read through the gospel accounts. Jesus himself called them out many times. It's amazing to me how many of the scriptures that reveal Jesus speaking to them, Jesus always pointed them back to what the scripture said. Go back, and he would say these phrases, have you not read? In other words, go back to the source. Go back to the very scriptures. Go back to what the prophets said of me. Go back to what God gave these prophets and what to say and what to look for about the coming Messiah. And if you did that, if you did it correctly, you would know who I am. And at one point, Jesus just started kind of saying, you are a bunch of hypocrites. That's not a good compliment, right? But when you think of the religious leaders and what we see them doing in the scriptures, Jesus called them out whenever they would fast, when they would refrain from eating. They would go out in public and put the little, you know, sad face on, and then maybe stand next to people and let them hear their stomach growl. Oh, I'm fasting. I'm committing this to the Lord, even though I'm suffering. Sometimes Jesus called them out, listen, when it came to them walking within the marketplace. Oh, he said, oh, you guys love parading around town. Hands up in the air on the street corners praying for people. Loving when people call you rabbi in the marketplace. Oh. Listen. He says, you like that? Well, guess what? There's your reward. There's your reward. Because you're not doing it for the glory of God. You're doing it for self-recognition. And he says, don't let anybody think or cause you to think by doing these things that, again, you're going to receive some other spiritual blessing, that you're going to be drawn closer to God. You're going to be looked at holier than that. False humility, listen carefully, is self-centeredness. But true humility is God-centered. Do you guys understand that? You know, the best scripture that reveals the humility, a definition of humility, is found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. This is the true mark of humility, that when we do things, we don't need to toot our horn. We don't need to brag about what we've done. True humility is being able to do things unto the Lord without ever recognizing, whatever, without ever being acknowledged. You know, I'm going to just, whether you're a part of this ministry or not, I'm not saying this to puff up your head, so don't take it that way. But I love the fact that we, since this church has existed, okay, listen carefully, we have not spent an ounce of resources, money, to clean this building. We have had volunteers who come into this building and make this place clean for the blessing of serving God, being behind the scenes. They're like ninjas. Sometimes I don't even know when they're here. They come and they just do without ever asking, hey, can you let the people know that it's me? I'll have a sign-up table over in the West Commons area. Nothing. It's their heart in worshiping the Lord. And this is again, what a beautiful description, because that's the heart that we need to have if we want to continue to grow, that God would use us, not because we want to boast about what we're doing, but it literally is God who comes into our heart, cleans it up, transforms our lives, and then the outward demonstration is all Him. Because again, if there's anything good in you, in me, that comes out, guess what? Guess where it originated from? God. Because by nature, we are selfish, self-centered, and it's all about me, right? To this day, if I'm eating a burrito, I'm not sharing. Just letting you know. Don't have a false humility. Then he talks about the worship of angels. Why would he go into this? Because during this time, the false teachers were spreading this theology, spreading this doctrine that God was far from people, that you needed to go through these angels in order for them, the angels, to reach God for you. The angels were those mediators for you. They believed all of these things, and they believed that the human body was of no good effect, that God, you know, even though God created us, our bodies were evil. So that is why the worshiping of angels was important. But listen, beloved, the Bible is very clear that God is not far from you. The Bible is very clear that He is near. And where do we see that? In Psalm 139. Read the whole psalm. Doesn't matter where you go, no matter what place you find yourself in, you, beloved, are never out of God's reach. That's awesome. That even if you go down to the depths of the deep, He still has a long enough arm to pull you up. That's a good place for an amen. Come on, church. Right? Because I know some of us have some bigger pits than others. Listen, some of us in here are just a hot mess. But out of love, God is near. Out of love, listen to this. Out of love, while you were still in your mother's womb, it says that He knitted you together. That His thoughts of you are more than you can even, if you could possibly count the grains of sand. That's how much He thinks of you. That blows me away. Because I know who I am. And I wonder why, God. Why would you think of me that much? Why would you love me that much? And that's why God is God and we're not. To think of all of these things that has been written in the Word of God, of His love and His character and His presence in your life, He is there. And no matter how many times you walk away from Him, all it is one step, you know, making that half U-turn, and He'll be right there to meet you and bring you back to where you need to be. That's a beautiful thing. The other thing that we understand, that the Bible is very clear, that there is only one mediator between God and man, and it's Jesus. Jesus Himself said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. There's only one. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 also tells us that there is only one mediator between God and man, and it is Jesus. It is Jesus who has opened up this door for us to enter into the presence of the Lord. It was Jesus' word on the cross when He said, it is finished, that in the temple where God's presence was, that veil was torn in two. What was the significance of that? That Holy of Holies, the only place in the temple where once a year the high priest was able to go in and pray for God's people, once a year has now been taken away because of the reconciliation, because of the redemption of Jesus. Anybody can now come. We don't have to go through another person. I want to share this with you, and I don't want anything to sound negative, but there are a lot of people who have been deceived into believing that they need to pray through angels and saints to reach God. And these people may be sincere in their faith, but the reality is it's sincerely wrong according to the scriptures. Because Jesus made it very clear, you have access. You don't need to go anywhere else. You can approach God personally. And because you can approach God personally, listen carefully, that means we can pray to him. We can go to him at any time and any place once again. Jesus himself even told Satan when he was being tempted, no one is to be worshipped except God alone. He said, get away from me, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God only and serve him. So it's very clear in the scriptures, and I want us to understand this as well. Angels are real. And the reality is that God created them for what purpose? To serve him. To do his will. If we can take heart and notice, our worship is not going to be relying upon other people to reach God for us. That we have the ability to worship God, and we have the ability to communicate with God, and we don't need to go through anybody else. Amen. When it talks about intruding on things which have not seen, Paul's speaking of those who may have visions and of God and talk about things of God, but yet not having seen a vision or heard from God. You know, some of the things that I've experienced in the, 25 plus years of me being in ministry, there are a lot of churches who do not adequately teach on the gifts of the Spirit. According to the scriptures, the gift of the spirits are God-given, and they operate today. They are fully operating. The thing is that we need to understand what those gifts are and how to use them correctly. And through the scriptures, you're going to discover that there are many spiritual gifts. But when you think of the truth behind every spiritual gift and every vision, or even one of those spiritual gifts, the gifts of tongues, many people get so caught up in these spiritual gifts that they forget the giver who gave them to them. And they become more self-glorifying than glorifying God. Because if you ever look in the scriptures and see God operating in a person's life, this is what you will discover. They are an empty vessel that God fills. They serve God. They glorify God by what they are doing. They are just the instruments that God works in and through. When it's used correctly, it builds up and edifies the church. And number four, it glorifies God. Now, what you see today on the TV evangelists who have these healing ministries and you spend $80 to get into an auditorium, and then you need to spend more money to buy a handkerchief, I'm just going to encourage you right now, don't buy into it. Because nobody can demand the Spirit to come upon a person. No one. And when it comes to the gift of tongues, I can't go into all the detail, but I can share this. When it comes to that specific gift, I don't know why everyone elevates that one above all the others. The reality is the gift of tongues is a special language between you and God. It's a prayer language. It could be a heavenly language, but it's a language that you don't even know. And the only way that God's going to bless people with that gift is if they pray regularly. Don't say, hey, I want this gift of tongues, and you don't even pray in your own language. But when you have these gifts, remember, it's not you. It's God who decides what gifts you give, what he gives. It's God, again, who gives you the empowerment to do it. And if God ever uses you, please don't ever steal any glory away from him. It belongs to him and him alone. And so when it comes to these things that you may be used by God or seeing a vision or doing special things, it doesn't make you more spiritual than the other. What you see up here before we get into our time of studying the word, Bill, Sierra, Tyler, Scott, Brian, they're not more spiritual than you. I'm not more spiritual than you. We are all brothers and sisters trying to learn how to live for God. So there's not this level that you need to be in order to be used by God. God wants to use any heart, listen carefully, that's available and open. That's it. And God will do great things in and through you. Verse 19, and holding fast to the head, of whom all the body, joints, and ligaments grow with the increase that is from God. In other words, what is Paul saying here? That if you choose to kind of live your life according to the law and choose what you're going to eat, and you think by doing all of these things and holding these special ceremonies that you're actually growing in Christ, this verse is telling you the exact opposite. You're being disconnected from him. Simple illustration. How many of you know and understand this truth? None of us can live without a head or a heart. Your body will not function. If you ever think by doing these things that that is what is causing your spiritual growth, you doing them to reach God, you're missing the mark. Because what he's saying here is the exact same thing that he said to the church in Galatia. How is it that you started in the spirit? Are you now trying to be made perfect in the flesh? How is it now that when you heard the gospel of grace, that you are now turning back to the law, thinking that it is the law that will save you? When Jesus has already done it all, why are you going backwards? You know, my dad, who shared this with me one time, and he said this. He said, we're going to have this delivery of doors. And when they come, you need to understand something. Any door we damage comes out of our paycheck. So you need to listen carefully and do how I instruct you. Follow everything. And if you follow it, there's a reward at the end of it. Well, what's that reward? You know, like, what is it? And he says, well, if we do this correctly, we'll cut out early today. All right, how many doors do we have? 200. Okay. So I remember elevator door opens up, and these doors are like 12 feet tall. They're solid fireproof doors. And here I am, 19-year-old punk, though I was lifting weights and I was a little bit yoked. I said a little. I went bragging. It's a little. But I went into that elevator. I told Dad, I got this. He said, no, let me show you how it's done. No, I got this. So I thought I was going to manhandle that door. And I grabbed one side of it, and I put my forearm on the other, and I knelt down, and I went, and it didn't move. It did not move. And my dad's standing back, and he's just like, what you waiting for? I'm like, I got this. Just give me a second. Did it again. Same result. Didn't even budge. Didn't even move. And I'm all like, okay, can you show me how to do it? I tried it once, tried it twice, and failed. And then he came in, and he turned around, had his back toward the door, and he's like, look at me. He knelt down, squatted down, picked it up with his back, leaned over, and walked out of the elevator without damaging it. And I thought, well, that's easy. I went in there. Okay, show me again. How'd you do that? And it took me a couple of times in order to get it. And I was still trying to do it here when I should have been doing it here. And all the while, my dad's telling me what to do, and yet I kept trying to do it here and here and not getting any results. Why are you disconnecting yourself from the beauty that God has given you in walking with him, now thinking that you're going to win his love by doing all of these rules, by eating certain kinds of food, or not doing certain things, that your relationship is going to grow deeper? Because the reality is, it's not. Because it's you trying to reach God, when all the while God is the one who's already reached down to us. Do you realize in that last phrase, this is what makes Christianity completely different from all other religions? Because religion is man's effort to please God, to reach him. Do this, don't touch this, we're going to read it. Do all of these things and then you will. While the gospel and the Bible preaches that God has already come. That God has already given you what is best. God has already given you everything you need to be at peace with him. Why go backwards? Why go and try and do it on your own strength and your own ways instead of listening to your daddy? And you guys know who my daddy is, right? He's your daddy too. Why do we keep trying to do these things in our own efforts, in our own strength, when God says, I already know you can't. This is what you need to do. Just walk in obedience to what I'm sharing, and I will help you. And so when I see this, again, we can't be made perfect in the flesh. We can't do anything more to gain our way into God's heart, that he would love us more, or into heaven. It's already been done. And so now let's finish up here. Let's wrap this up. This is an in closing now. Here we go. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Again, those things that I was just sharing with you. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. Don't let anybody tell you what pleases God. What's important for us is to dig into the Word of God and know what pleases God, that we ourselves would be taken in the true gospel, that we would not be persuaded or tricked and deceived into following other methods to draw closer to God. Everything is here. And one of the things that is important for us to understand again and know, this all has been done because of what Jesus did on the cross. And he continues to do for us today. All of these man-made traditions are not going to do anything. Verse 23, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. If Christ has come to set us free, beloved, let's walk in that freedom. Let us not, as Paul said in Galatians again, steadfast in the liberty, in the freedom that Christ has given us, and don't be entangled anymore with those things that separated us from him. And listen, this is my heart to you. As we grow in this church, there are going to be brand new believers coming into this body. And even though they're brand new believers, this is what I want us to be cautious about. Because sometimes some of us older saints may forget what it was like in the very beginning to start walking with Christ. And we cannot expect them to change overnight, because listen, the truth and the reality is all of us are still a work in progress. Can we just be a little transparent this morning? How many of you know in your heart that you are nowhere near where you know God wants you? So if that's the case, then why are we putting guilt trips and telling brand new believers what they should be doing? There's only one judge, and that judge is Jesus. But what are we to do as loving brothers and sisters? Not judge, but encourage. We're to build up. We're to help others come to that truth of who Jesus is. And if we keep pushing them away from Jesus by telling them, do this, don't do this, we're losing them. But if we come along their side and encourage them and understanding and knowing that every day we have an opportunity to either live for the Lord or not, it's your choice. No one's here to twist your arms. Here are the benefits. You walk with Jesus, you know more of him. He's going to be there to help you with the difficulties that you face. You choose to do it in your own strength or turn away from him, then guess what? The consequences will be on you because God's provided you with something that you're refusing to take. How many of you parents, when your kids are sick, do you take your medicine?
No.
I'm trying to help you. Take the medicine. You're going to get better. It don't taste good. Man, it don't taste good, but it'll help you. Same thing. God's got the cure, but for some reason, because of that sinful nature of ours, it creeps up and it wants to pull us away. And it wants us to go down those roads that we once used to be on. And if we allow him, we can't blame God. That's our own doing. What is our responsibility? What is Paul's greatest encouragement? Don't let anybody pass judgment on you. Don't look at days more holier than others. Don't think that you're holier than other people because God may be using you. If God speaks to you, praise the Lord, give him glory, but don't boast thinking that it's you. And all of these things, the reality is this, we are all still a work in progress. That work of sanctification is not going to end until we see Jesus. So let us not pass judgment. Let us not have a religion. Let us have an amazing relationship with God where we're encouraging one another to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and let Jesus teach us his way. Can we agree to that?
Amen.
Right? And that the truth of the gospel, he's already done it. We just need to walk in obedience and be led by him. That's what matters most. Worship team, come forward. Father, I want to thank you so much for this time. And I want to thank you for being able to complete this section. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us all today, Lord, to be that great source of encouragement to one another. I'm so thankful that our relationship with you is not based upon what we can do. Again, I'm so thankful for what you have done. You have blessed us above and beyond what we ever deserve. Again, the Bible is very clear. Yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That you made it possible, even in our darkest hour, to be saved. So today I pray that we would not look to anyone else to give us an opinion, but I pray that it would be the word of God that will help us all today to know God's very heart and to walk with him. That we would know the truth, and that truth that sets us free, here it is. Jesus came. He died for us as sinners. He rose again on the third day to conquer over all principalities, over Satan, sin, death, and hell. Jesus won the victory for us. He's removed that veil so that all of us can enter into God's presence. And with this amazing gift, I pray all of us would not just receive it, but to live it. That we would become that light of the world for all to see that we love Jesus. So God, help us this day to do that. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to give this opportunity because I believe as we're here this morning, some of us may have at times put things on other people that we shouldn't have. I believe that there's times when we have, out of right motives, out of a desire to do what is right, but it never came out the right way. And we may have sound judgmental toward other people. And I just want to encourage us right now, if this is you, and if God has been speaking to your heart, I want to ask that you would just simply raise up your hand. Because it's times like this when God speaks that we just need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I want to grow in this area. I want to represent you properly. And I'm going to just be very transparent. My hand's going up with those that are up in the sanctuary right now. Lord, thank you for your conviction. Thank you for helping us understand and see it's not us, it's all you. We want more of you, Jesus. So with every hand that's raised, God, pour out your spirit upon them. Would you not only give them the ability to have every word that comes out of their mouth be of grace, that they would be seasoned with salt, that they would give anybody who would ask of them a reason for their belief, that they would do it in truth and in love. God, help us all to speak that truth today. You guys can go ahead and put your hands down. Maybe today you've here and you've never made the Lord your own personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you've had this thought that you need to clean yourself up before God will accept you. Well, I'm here to tell you, you just need to come as you are. Because God is the one who cleans us up. And if this is you, I want to encourage you, I want to invite you to slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want my heart to be right with God today. I want to know that I can have a right relationship with him. I see your hand here in the center. See your hands over to my right and to my left. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. I see your hands in the back. God, continue to move. If there's other hearts here that is fighting against the Lord, praise the Lord. I see your hands off to my right. God, give them the ability just to slip up that hand. Praise the Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful for the way you guys can put your hands down. I'm so thankful for the way that you have ministered to our hearts today. And I don't want this moment to end because I know God is doing a work. And when he moves, beloved, know that that is proof that he's alive, he's here, and he loves you. So I'm going to invite all of those who raised their hand, and maybe even if you didn't, and maybe even if you're watching online, I want to encourage you. This is your moment between you and God. This is your opportunity to get your heart right. And it's through a simple prayer. It's not the raising of your hand that saves you. It's your heart getting right with God. So anybody can join in on this prayer. So repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I believe today that he died for the sins of the world. And that includes me. God, would you please forgive me of all of my sins? It is today by faith that I believe in Jesus. I believe in his death and his resurrection. I believe because he rose from the grave that my sins are forgiven and I'm at peace with God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Now, God, would you please come into my life and help me from this day forward to live for you. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Listen, I want to encourage you guys with something. There's times when I believe that God is just stirring. And I'm not doing this to force anybody. But the Bible says this very clearly, that when you make a stand for the Lord publicly, that Jesus will stand before you, before the Father. And I just feel that as the Holy Spirit is moving, I want to invite those who just gave their heart to the Lord to stand on up. I want you to come forward now, and I want you to be able to go with Guy. I don't want you leaving this place without getting a Bible, without getting some encouragement and where to start reading your Bible. Because as quick as the Lord has touched your heart, you have an enemy that's going to distract you by the time you get out of those doors. I want you to get set up for the victory that you have in Christ. He's going to open up a Bible and show you where to start reading. And so I want to request, again, it's not to, we've all done this. We've all raised our hand. We all walked forward at times. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you make a stand for Jesus, it is so liberating. It feels like a huge weight has been lifted off your chest. And I just want to encourage you right now, stand on up, come out from where you're sitting, and just go with God right now. And the rest of us, we're going to stand in a minute, and then we're going to worship the Lord. And so if you made him your personal Lord and Savior today, don't be afraid. The Lord is with you. The Lord's going to walk with you. And if you're too afraid to come by yourself, tell the person next to you, will you walk up there with me? So why don't you guys go ahead and stand on up and come forward. We want to welcome you and bless the Lord for the way that he's moving. Thank you. God is good. Let's all stand and let's worship the Lord.